Hear that? It's the sound of ATM fees taking a bite of the things you buy with your cash. Luckily, with a TD Unlimited checking account, you pay no TD fee at any ATM in Canada. Open an account today. TD, ready for you. You may pay a fee to a non-TD ATM provider.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to Living in the Light, everyone. This is your show host, Susan Newton. I'm so excited to have you all here tonight. I already see quite a few people in the chat room, and we have a caller on the switchboard already. I would like to share with you, of course, as usual, this show is dedicated and committed to the empowerment and the facilitation of individuals to become reconnected to their higher self insight and wisdom, uniting their mind and their heart together as one, and allowing them to find the insight and the love that lives within each and every one of them. Each and every one of you out there have your own insight and wisdom, and it is truly, truly my passion to assist in bringing that to light for you. All of the guests that I bring onto this show, it is also my intention that each and every one of them have something beautiful to share that you'll be able to take with you on your path as another tool. Our music, of course, that led us into our show this evening is written by Michael Fess. Michael and Cindy Fess are good friends of ours, and they as well are beautiful, beautiful light workers with lots to share. You can contact them and reach them at www.getharmony.com. Again, that's www.getharmony.com. Thank you, Michael, so much for allowing me to use your beautiful music. I'm here tonight with my co-host, Chris Belmoni. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Susan. Thanks. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me here.
You are very welcome. And I'm also very, very excited to share with each and every one of you, the guest of this evening's show is Charlene M. Proctor, PhD. She is an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking and a Diksha facilitator trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. She is best-selling author of Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking, and the Woman's Book of Empowerment, 323 Affirmations that Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. Her Midwestern sensibility and spiritual approach to self-empowerment has helped thousands awaken to their divine magnificence within. Welcome, Charlene. I'm excited to have you tonight.
Thanks, Susan. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, your bio is perfect. It shares exactly what I love to share with people. And I'm excited that you're here to share with us your gifts and the ways that you've brought those forward.
Great.
So right off the bat, let's go ahead and share with everybody your contact information so that they can be looking as they're listening, possibly checking out your website. Would you like to share some of that with us? And I'll type it into the chat room at the same time that you're giving it.
Wonderful. If we do discuss the book tonight, they could go to theoneness.com and click at the link at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book, and there'll be a page with a book trailer there, which is really beautiful. We have a segment on that of my Your Journey to Joy television series, which they would enjoy. Or they can go to charleneproctor.com and view the films there and learn more about the book and all of the beautiful gifts that all of my friends and colleagues are giving with this book launch.
Awesome. And so when is your book launch, speaking of it?
I believe it is April 24th.
Perfect. So that's
not far away. Yeah.
Coming right up.
Yep, and I think the book's available everywhere. It's all e-book formats. So if you're reading a Kindle or a Nook or whatever your format is, we have all of that information so that if people just have e-readers, they can also purchase it, which is actually kind of nice because you don't have to wait. But if they do order a book and they order it from my office, I'll be happy to sign it for them. So whatever they want, just let us know how we can help you.
Perfect. So out of curiosity, how did you come up with the idea for the Oneness Gospel?
I was very interested in these teachings that were coming over from India and from the couple called Sri Ama Bhagavan. I heard about them. They lived in India, and they created an organization called the Oneness University. And through a series of experiences, came to learn from them in the dasas, which are the monks, those are holy people, that were delivering these teachings to Westerners as well as everyone on the globe. And they were originally just giving these workshops and seminars and prayer sessions in India, but then they began to do it in Fiji. I was very interested in these teachings. I think they're very simple and they're interfaith, they're universal and very unity-oriented. And given this polarized society that we live in, I thought they were definitely a message that should be translated and brought out.
So what aspects of your background contribute to the unique perspective on this topic, and how did that come together with what you learned from these people?
Well, as you know, I'm a self-help author, and I was writing books on empowerment for women and positive thinking. And so this, in addition to being an ordained minister and going out and learning how to be a Diksha giver and studying with these people for a while, I thought that the research was very interesting. And I thought the more that I plunged into it, really showed me that the Indian mystics were very, in their teachings, very congruent with the New Testament Gospels. And being a researcher and a writer for many, many years, I kind of plugged into the teachings from Yogananda and all of the other masters. They had a lot to say about unity and raising consciousness. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought it was time to do a East meets West piece. I think that truth is universal, and I'm sure you might agree with me on that. And it's really nice to see that in many ways we are seeking the same truths and the same messages that kind of underlie many of our wisdom traditions. So it was a very intellectual piece for me, but the way that it came out was very approachable. And so I hope that people can reach in and grab, they can challenge themselves by reading about it. And there's a lot of stories in this book about some of my personal experiences with the material, not just personal suffering that led me to some of these workshops and sessions that these people were giving, but, you know, there were many, many other reasons to try to draw the material together. So,
well, I love that you brought that forward. That's a lot of what I share with people as well. I think that there's a misconception sometimes. People think if they get on a spiritual path, everything is just going to be perfect and wonderful, and there's, you know, all a bed of roses, which in fact it is if your perception shifts and you understand that there is gifts in everything. But I think it's really important that you brought up the fact that some of what led you there were the things, the experiences that may have been causing you some turmoil or poor pain in your own life, and were searching.
Yeah, it's really funny. I have two comments on this. First is that a lot of people that get on the spiritual path spend so much time seeking that they become permanent seekers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know that I was there too. It was an obsession with me. You know, we reach a point in our life where we want to be so much closer to the presence.
Yeah.
And we want some sort of mystical connection, and we want this tactile, intimate feeling with the divine,
mm-hmm.
or God, or however you may define that in your own wisdom tradition. And we keep seeking and seeking and seeking this higher level of awareness or enlightenment, and we're wondering all the time, well, when's it coming? And what happens, especially in the West, is that we become permanent seekers and we don't seek to employ the things that we learned. And sometimes they're so simple that we just kind of conveniently overlook it. So we become seekers in this spiritual focus that we have, but we're not doing what the spiritual masters
mm-hmm.
taught us to do, which is to apply.
Yes, integrate it and use it.
Yeah, and, you know, my other thought on your comment was that a real big step towards our personal growth is the willingness to release the past and to choose the present moment. And it sounds so simple, but it's so difficult because we always have something that compels us to the search, right?
Yes.
And many of us are in some sort of suffering. We're in a state of suffering over our personal lives or someone in the family, in our case. One thing that led me to this material, and having been a spiritual person for so many years, I thought, oh, well, here I am the healer and the spiritual teacher, yet I'm experiencing this personal suffering in my life and in my family, yet I cannot heal myself. And you know, I think it's a common theme with a lot of us. And we know that in every family there's always some kind of suffering. We experienced this in our own family. We had a huge burden of magnitude. When you're watching somebody spiral into a personal hell, it's very, very difficult.
Yes.
And what happens is that we take on this emotional suffering as our own, and it begins to manifest as physical disease. And in my case, my back, you know, I had a serious back injury. Well, you know, if you read Louise Hay and all these other great writers about, you know, positive thinking, and whatever we think and experience goes right into our bodies, right, and creates disease.
Absolutely.
We take those burdens on, and, you know, the back's all about support. When you don't feel supported, your back goes out.
Yep.
And all of the suffering that we experience takes a very big toll, physical toll on us as human beings, and we carry these things in our energy layers, or the koshas, and it perpetuates this disease. So what happened with me, which was another reason that compelled me to share these lessons in this new book, is that my personal search for these tools that would help me release these emotional charges and this physical diseases in my body, I was very intrigued with the process that could help me do it. You know, we all have prayer and meditation and all these other disciplines, being blessed by others, or forgiveness, or affirmative thinking, or all of these things, and they're so important. But I was looking for something in this search that could clean me out and help me get rid of the suffering that had been residing in my body. So maybe that's something that, you know, many of your listeners have experienced too. So that's another reason the Oneness Gospel was birthed.
Yes.
Because I was looking at the material and experiencing all of this, and it really helped me understand suffering and how to move through that,
mm-hmm.
not get stuck in it.
Absolutely. And it does take your ability to accept where you are, and you can't be in the present moment unless you accept where you are. And if where you are has emotions involved with it, then that means that you have to accept the emotions that are there and work through them. And that is how you come to the more, you know, higher vibrational place, or the place that literally has a different level of consciousness in your perception of it. It really is a beautiful process.
Yeah, it is. Although we struggle with going there.
We do.
The people in India who are, in this community that I was a part of, are so lovable, and they said that the biggest disease that Western culture has is that, well, we believe in separation, which is a whole other topic, but we are experts at our suffering management.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my gosh, when they mm-hmm. talked about that, that just so rang true, because I realized that, you know, this is true. We don't want to fully live through the pain of something in the present.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to embrace it. And one thing that the East is teaching us is that we don't even recognize when we're in our own suffering. We stuff it, or we go to therapy,
right.
or we eat, drink,
right.
play, get mad at our families, you
yep.
know, watch TV, run away, shop, you know,
exactly.
love in the wrong places, all those things. And we don't want to face our suffering head on and allow it to fill us.
Yeah.
We don't want to stay with that pain. We don't want to experience these emotions or the emotional charges, which is the residuals from the old suffering. And we think the whole way for us to deal with this is to contain it and manage it. And you know, and because you just said earlier, it's really not the key to experiencing life in the present moment. There's no way that you can live a life of joy when you are managing your suffering.
Exactly. You know what I love to share with people as well is that really, if you really understand the concept that we are all one, and that you're an energy being and an energy body that's carrying forward energy blueprints from all of your ancestors, then a lot of what you're carrying with you are not even your, quote, your truth. They're things that you've learned along the way or that have been embedded within you along the way, and you are in the point of power that allows that to shift and change, which allows for your future to be different.
You know, that's really interesting, because now I remember when I was out in Fiji, they talked about the healing of seven generations. And they do a whole part of putting you in a state of suffering, and it's just absolutely horrible to be by yourself and not be able to talk to anyone, because they put you in mauna, which is, you know, a state of silence for three days.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you a diksha, you know, this energetic blessing that takes you through your suffering process, and it's absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like cleaning yourself out.
Yeah.
And
roto-rooting.
Absolutely. And after, you know, and after everybody goes through that part of the process, they talk also about the healing of the seven generations, and that we are carrying these imprints from former lifetimes, and there's all these little learning curves, you know, that we experience. And it's not just about this time.
Right.
Life to me has always been such a much bigger process. We couldn't possibly evolve or transform or grow spiritually in one lifetime. I've never believed it personally. I mean, I was a kid and I believed that you would have many, many lifetimes. I think that's because my parents used to read Edgar Cayce books all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it very interesting at a young age. And to me, it is a sensible idea to know that, you know, we're processing things from our families and situations. We have karmic relationships with people, and there's a whole level of healing and learning that goes on. And, you know, we do the best we can, and we tackle a big chunk of it in every lifetime if we're committed to personal and spiritual growth. But there are processes, you know, these mystical processes that help you connect with some of this energy that resides. And I don't know that it's possible for all of us to really do this ourselves. I mean, we can be experts in a lot of things. We can't be experts in everything. So I think that part of our spirituality overall, there's a mysticism there that's so difficult for most people to find. It's hard to find in the Bible, and it's hard to find in some of these dense works. You know, we may get it from the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, whatever material that you're reading, but life is about experiencing. And we can get in our heads all day long and have this intellectual approach to life and read how to be learned and spiritual and a great person and healed and so forth in a book. But I'm not sure that we can do this all on our own.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, and I would like to share something and get your feedback on it as well. I always love to share with people like a visual of a glass of, for instance, dark, muddy water. And each person that does the work or makes a choice to shift their perception or forgive or, you know, do whatever little piece of the process is there, which there are many pieces. To me, it's about truth, responsibility, forgiveness, acceptance. Those are all enormously huge pieces that allow you to shift your perception. And you said it eloquently just a few moments ago that not every single person on the earth is going to be going to these extreme you know, places to be able to do those processes. But it's my belief and what Spirit shares with me that the group of us who are doing those processes assist in clearing that muddy water, that every drop that goes into the glass, it's a little more clear and a little more clear and a little more clear, and it becomes easier for those who follow behind. That's my understanding. I'd be interested to know what your perception of that is.
Well, my thought on that would be kind of like the idea of raising consciousness across the planet. I think that, and one thing that they teach in the Oneness Circle, is that it only takes one person in a family or one person in a community to vibrate at a higher level of conscious awareness to raise everyone else's vibration.
Yeah.
Now, you know, in everyday life, if that kind of all sounds a lot of woo-woo, garbledygook to some of the listeners, It basically is about, you know, in your own life, if somebody is walking into a room that's a very strong positive energy, very upbeat, it's contagious.
Yeah.
You know, we all feed off of each other's energy layers. And when somebody is in your realm that's extremely negative, it's just like a poison apple, you know. It's a disease. It's an energetic disease in a room.
Yes.
Well, you know, consciousness raising is, you know, kind of akin to that process. I mean, if all of us who are working to help vibrate at a high level of conscious awareness, and that's thinking about higher level thought forms, love and forgiveness, and you know, rather than plunging into negativity, are going to attract more and bounce off of more people, and it's going to just aid in everyone's level of awareness.
Absolutely.
That's actually all enlightenment is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's operating at a higher level of awareness. And people are, I think, are really seeking how to get there. How do you wake up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, one thing that they're teaching in the oneness community is shifting this focus from living completely in the mind and trying to think from the heart.
Absolutely.
I know that sounds a little, poetic, but we have to really disengage from this negativity and these vibrations, from old emotions or habits or traumas, assumptions about other people, judgment, conditioning, or living life through all these masks that we have constructed in order to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So raising your conscious awareness or raising your vibration, which in turn is like a little domino effect that helps other people, that's truly, you know, part of the transformation that's, I think, happening to many people. And each of us, especially all of the people who go to maybe unity churches, or they sing the song in the church, what is it, Peace Begins With Me.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we sit there and we sing this and we don't put it to practice.
Absolutely.
If you're not vibrating at the level of peace, then how do you expect to have peace in your own personal world?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you expect to have a peaceful planet?
Exactly.
It starts with each person. It's so simple. It's like, well, go home and practice the concept of peace.
Yeah.
I mean, if you did it for a day, you would be amazed at the change in your own personal world.
Well, I know it. I love everything that you're saying. And, you know, it's fun because one of my most all-time favorite books, I just love it, love it, love it, is Power versus Force, written by Dr. David Hawkins, and it explains in great detail and goes into the quantum physics of stuff as well, but the map of consciousness in his book is one of my favorites, and I use it to assist in coaching people, and I think it's very enlightening, and it's very clear because it literally shows how, what level, you know, it like gives a number of the level of consciousness that a negative emotion is versus peace and enlightenment, and it shows you exactly what you were just explaining. It's one of my favorite books. So thank you for bringing that forward. We are at the bottom of our hour, and we're going to take a little commercial break, and everybody out there in the chat room can go and get a sip of water. Charlene, go and get a sip of water, relax, and we'll be back in a minute to discuss more of the things that you share with people and teach. I'm so excited that you're here. We'll be right back.
USC Radio Productions is a catalyst for humanity's shift from human nature to divine greatness through both the spoken word and our hosts sharing compelling and exciting topics to create a greater understanding of the subject and how it relates to our world today. Whether our hosts are speaking at conferences to worldwide audiences, organizing live global events, or presenting unique life-changing empowering knowledge, our mission has always remained at the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, to create opportunities for all to claim their empowerment, stand in unity, and to meet the greater parts of themselves and each other. This is our heart calling. You are our calling. At the most pivotal time in our human evolution, we are deeply inspired to continue to meet the needs of humanity and our planet as we birth into empowered greatness. It is our fervent hope and intention that our shows will serve as both a guiding light and trusted resource. Visit us at uscnetwork.ning.com. The time has arrived to claim your greatness and be the voice of your heart.
Join host Susan Newton every Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the USC radio show Living in the Light. Empowerment occurs as you open your heart and reconnect to your higher self and unconditional love. Discover how to reunite as a whole through the light of spirit and the love of God. Log on to www.blessingsfromspirit.com and choose to empower yourself. Schedule group or individual sessions with author, medium, and interactive verbal channel Susan Newton and guided meditation specialist Chris Salomon. Their products and services will facilitate your reconnection to the whole as you open your heart and experience unconditional love. Log on to www.angelsnownetwork.com and unite as a whole with all that is. Register to attend an Angels Now event with Susan Newton, Chris Salomon, Cindy and Michael Fess, and Candy Michelle. Your Angels Now team is here to serve you. This group of authors, mediums, psychic facilitators, Reiki masters, musicians, and guided meditation specialists will share spiritual insights, wisdom, and truths from the spiritual realms.
Advertise with us and receive worldwide visibility. The USC TV Radio Productions is fast becoming one of the leading producers and distributors of online high-quality talk TV radio shows in partnership with our professional hosts, targeting a worldwide listening audience via the Internet based on a diverse range of topics. The USC TV Radio Productions has introduced new personalities, products, and programs to a rapidly ever-expanding online audience, becoming one of the true spiritual communities in the world. Our shows with the TV Radio Productions are 95% live-based on a weekly broadcast. Advertising on Internet radio is the wave of the future and is a virtually untapped market of customers for your business. Now there is a way to target your special interest group worldwide without paying for high-volume exposure. With our TV radio network and web advertising, you pay small market rates that often will equal or even exceed the useful exposure your business would get on a large market station or even network. To inquire about our special price point and advertising packages we offer, call 480-255-6198 or email us at imdivinelight@aol.com.
Welcome back to Living in the Light. This is your show host, Susan Newton, and I'm here tonight with my co-host, Chris, who's been bopping in and out to sneeze on and off.
Yes. I'm here.
Yes, exactly.
Stuffy nose and all.
Yeah. And our guest tonight is Charlene Proctor, PhD. You can go to onenessgospel.com. You can also go to charleneproctor.com. Welcome back, Charlene. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks. I can't wait to continue our discussion.
I know. It's so much fun. I absolutely just love to hear other people who are sharing with all those who are desiring to make a shift and a change. And it's my understanding and my knowing in this moment in time that there are more and more every single day who are choosing to lead their life in a different way, to bring unconditional love in and to have the courage to make that shift up into the more positive areas of living.
Well, all of these disaster movies, you know, we've been seeing the last couple.
Yeah.
But I have to laugh. You know, the last one I saw, what was that, the 2012 movie about the whole planet going underwater, and I was so terribly depressed by that whole characterization of what's happening on the planet right now. And
yep.
when we right before the break, we were talking about consciousness, and while I was listening to your music, I was thinking about it, and some things I want to say about it. And the whole bit about raising consciousness, you know, this is a time, a very exciting time for everybody. We are overturning so many old assumptions about ourselves as human beings and about other nations and people and the way we perceive life. And the more awareness that we have that we are not separated from each other or separated from all that is just a magnificent idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a time where this is the upheaval. You know, and on TV or in the movies, they're going to tell you literally, you know, like some old Bible story that the world is going to end and there's going to be so many people dying and or whatever. But it's a metaphor for what is really happening, which is that we are all putting to death or putting an end to our old way of living and raising our vibrational level to embrace the idea that we have this divinity within us. And I always tell people, I say that their potential always resides in the space where we realize we are unlimited substance. We're actually embodied spirit. You know this.
Absolutely.
You know, we are this thing called the I Am Presence. And it's so at its basic, most fundamental level. That's like the premise of positive thinking and manifestation, you know. You've got to vibrate at this higher level thought process and resonate with this pattern of the divine. And when you do this through prayer or meditation or any activity that consciously puts you in the arms of the divine, then you are raising your vibration to attract that which is. You are actually vibrating at the level of the divine. Now, we were talking earlier, if everybody could do this, you know, I guess we could practice a little bit with positive thinking and vibrating the idea of peace. But if we could shift to this exciting idea that we're actually a little individualized spark of divine creation, if we could reach around and grab that idea, we would see, like, amazing cultural and political and global change, because the divine is all about joy, right? And people who are joyful don't hurt each other. You know, they're interested in figuring out how to spread more joy. So, you know, once we move past the suffering and shift into being more consciously aware of how we're thinking, what we're putting out from our heads and our hearts every day, if we can even go just a little step further and attune to this idea that we are each of us divine substance and practice life as this joyful exercise in the present, that's the global shift that they're trying to portray in the movies. So, you know, to me, it's if you want to be spiritual, if you want to engage in enlightenment seeking or awareness seeking, you know, change your perception about life. You know, look at it as a process of co-creation. You know, it's a partnership. And I know we get a lot of help along the way, but I think mainly it's up to us to change our thought processes and our ideas about who we really are.
Absolutely. I would absolutely agree. And so what you just described there and kind of what you went off the path on a little was what you refer to as conscious creation, correct?
Yeah, a little bit. Is that where I was?
I think so.
I'm drifting.
Drifting is good. That means we're flexible and we're in the moment, right?
Yeah. You know, I have a favorite author. I know you mentioned one of yours, so I'm going to offer up one of mine. But I don't know if you read any books by Emmett Fox. Do you remember him?
He was
this New Thought minister from the 1940s, and he mm-hmm. wrote these little books. And years ago, I found a lot of them and read them, and they were so amazingly insightful. And I loved them. I carried them in my purse at time, looking things up. I recommended them to a lot of people. They were mostly his lectures that he gave at his church on Sundays, and he wrote a lot about conscious co-creation and manifesting something you want in your life. And how do you do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
How do you change this thought process that gets you what you want and need in life? Because it's always a real issue with most of us. You know, how do I get more abundance or prosperity or
right.
money? Or how do I get that loving relationship? You know, it's really hard to get up in the morning and go, oh, I'm going to be enlightened today. I'm going to get into this higher level of conscious awareness. I'm going to think like the divine. I'm going to think like God thinks. I'm going to see through God's eyes today when we're worried about, you know, if we're going to have a job.
Exactly.
Or how to pay the bills. So Emmett was just a very wonderful teacher, and he told everybody, to get what you want, you have to really have a lot of clarity and passion for the idea. It's basically a two-fisted concept. You have to know what you want. You know, that's the clarity part.
Yep.
You know, if you don't know what you want, or if you don't know where you're going, there's an old saying, any road will get you there. Didn't your mom ever say that?
Yep, exactly.
So you're just kind of searching for something. If you want something in your life, you have to be real clear about what it is. But put yourself in a, and you talked about the water glass earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Visualizing, being in this thing, feeling it with passion. You know, just don't say, well, I want to have this loving relationship. But what does it feel like to you, from your head to your toe, to be in a loving relationship? That's what you're trying to practice when you're trying to change your vibratorial level to pull something into your life, right?
Exactly.
And this, to me, is the process of conscious co-creation, because it is about your relationship with the divine. I don't care whether it's Buddha or Yahweh or Krishna, Jesus, the goddess, whoever. It doesn't matter. What you're trying to do is recognize and understand that I am power, that divinity that exists, this oneness, you know, this complete unity with everything, and to not just ask, but to be a participant in the process of making something, making some change or raising your level of awareness in your life. You know, it's you can't just ask. You have to participate in the idea.
You have to take action.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. The other thing that I would add to that, and I think that people get tripped up sometimes on this, is that when you are visualizing that, and even when you do get very clear, we also, like I like to use the example of going on a vacation. If you say, okay, I'm going to go to, for instance, one of my favorite places to go is Hawaii. I'm going to go to Hawaii, and I'm leaving here from Ohio. Well, there's a process and a journey that I know will take me there. It will take X amount of hours, and I'll be in two different airports, and I'll be in a car for this amount of time. My point is that there's a process, literally, to get there. And some of it isn't as much fun as the rest, but I know in the end that I'm going to get to where I'm going. And what happens, I think, when people do get very clear about where they want to go, all of a sudden, because they've done that, they've also churned up some of the things that need to be cleared in order for them to come into alignment for where they are going to be going. Mm-hmm. And then they think to themselves, well, oh my gosh, I'm clearly not there because look at this big thing that's standing in my face now, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest things for you to understand and know, that in order to come into alignment with some of the things that we choose and that we desire for ourselves, we absolutely have to do a little bit of house cleaning sometimes.
That's true. And you mentioned about the process and the journey. There's a Amma is a very interesting person, and she said, which I think is one of the neatest things that I've ever heard, and I tell people this all the time, the journey begins where you are, not where you want to be.
Exactly.
The journey begins where you are, not where you want to be. You can't be anywhere else than where you are. And, you know, I'll tell you, in the West, a lot of us are high achievers. We always want to move to step 10 before step 1. You know, patience is not my strong suit personally either. but it's funny because you go to the store now and you see all these books on, 10 easy steps to making marketing history, or, you know, business books are step 1 through 5. You know, you do all these steps, you're going to get this. And some of it's about personal spiritual growth too, you know, but it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be anywhere than where you are right now. You have to slow down. You have to take pleasure in simple things. You have to take a look at things very closely.
Yep.
And, you know, so you need to indulge yourself in joy, indulge yourself in grief or pain or anger or to whatever life is offering you, and stay centered and learn how to move through these things quickly and efficiently, because you can't skip over it.
Exactly.
I always say it's a lesson in acceptance, and God is showing you something important, and we need to pay attention. And if we're constantly spending all our time in the past and the future, we're not embracing what is in front of us. And we're never going to feel like we're making any spiritual progress because we're not engaged in the present.
Right. We end up on a sit and spin and just kind of going around in the same circle.
You have to be just fully present to whatever life is offering you at the moment and just inhale deeply. It's, again, you know, it's the first step to healing and to the any kind of transformative path, in my opinion.
I would absolutely agree. We had a comment from a good friend of ours in the chat room. Hi, Harry. I see your comment out there. And he said many people are looking for the shortcut. They're looking for the magic pill. And that is true. And we're here to share with you that that little magic pill doesn't exist except for you becoming present in your present moment.
Being present and recognizing, I'm going to add to that comment, when you are filtering life through old programming, you know, we can say, oh, well, I'm living in the present moment. I'm fully enjoying the present moment or being with grief or any of the things we don't enjoy about the present moment, because that's part of life, right? We have to take the good and the bad.
Absolutely.
Even though it's all what it is, there's no really good and bad about it. But that's another story for another
day. Yep.
But are we seeing what is in front of us clearly, or are we seeing it through old carryover of emotional patterns? We may have inherited them from culture, our families, or old messages. You know, are we seeing what's in front of us with old messages like you're not good enough?
Yep.
You know, what happens, and as you know, that turns our perception into nothing more than reactions to past behaviors.
Absolutely.
You know, old traumas, you're seeing things through stories that are holding you back, and it's a knee-jerk reaction to living. And that's one of the things that we need to, I think, as a society, and it's part of this whole, you know, 2012 thing. I don't know why I'm on that tonight, but it's just the right thing to, the right place to go, is to shed all of this old conditioning that puts us on autopilot.
Absolutely.
And once we lift that veil, you know, it's kind of a poetic thing in our business. As you know, we're going to lift the veil and we're going to see life clearly. And you know, we sit in these workshops for years and we go, well, how do I do that? What does it really mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we sit and meditate about it for a couple of years and go, well, I feel like I never got anywhere with it. But to me, really learning how to live a joyful life and to be in a spiritual mindset and heart set is to just be aware and to see clearly. Just see. See who you are, see your own behavior, see how you're reacting to people, and see if you are living in the present as nothing more than a series of old programs and old conditions.
Absolutely.
We need to get rid of that and wipe the slate clean. And I'll tell you, if you do the work and you know and you learn how, life is so much more robust. I mean, I never thought I would enjoy life so much until I learned how to get rid of all of those things with my own self, you know, because I never want to write books and deliver a message that hasn't been practiced and actually test-driven.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of one of my rules of thumb as a writer is don't write about it unless you've actually experienced it.
Absolutely. Well, I think that we have to experience it to be able to know what it is, and I also think energetically that it literally opens up new pathways for other people to be able to walk over that bridge that we who have experienced it and figured out how to do it. You know, just like the people that came before us walked over their bridge and let a path for us to walk in their footsteps and see it from a completely different level of consciousness. It really is a beautiful process when you think about it that way. And when you're able to see through a different pair of sunglasses, you know, put on your rose-colored glasses, it really does make quite a large difference.
Well, once again, this whole concept of having or raising our vibration, that seems to be where we are tonight, is it? You know, how do we do that? You know, how do we unfilter ourselves to to vibrate higher so that we can not only attract the things that we want in our life, but to just spread more goodwill and joy, which in turn will come back to us in many ways. How do we do that? You know, I've taught this chant to people in workshops over the years. Ung So Hung. This chant, Ung So Hung, and you can sing it, and it means, I'm the divine in every cell of my being. I am the divine in every cell of my being. And when you chant something, it's like prayer. It's like prayer in a church. You know, what you're doing is that you're attuning to the vibration of that idea. You're trying to pull that idea into the very essence of who you are. And it's very powerful to acknowledge that you can't be anywhere outside of the divine presence. We're in it, and it's in us, and it's through us always. Again, affirming this presence in us is the highest vibration that we can generate. So I would say to everyone that your relationship with divinity or the presence or God is absolutely the foundation for your healings and happenings that are called miracles. It is the foundation for you to attract everything that you want in your life. But you have to reverberate and resonate with that idea. You know, this unity and this of love and optimism and learn to see that in everyone else.
Charlene, can I put you on the spot for 1 second here? And number one, would you spell that for me? I know that you said it. It means I am the divine in every cell of my being. How do you spell
it? How to spell it?
Yeah.
It's three words, ong, O-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
And the second word is so, S-O.
Mm-hmm.
And the third word is hung, H-U-N-G. And if you email me tomorrow, I will give you, I will look up this musical piece that you can play that has the chant. And,
okay.
And your audience will just love it. And
well, I was going to see if you would do it.
Oh, well, we've only got like 2 minutes.
I know.
We'll have to do that another time. I gotta get in my. I have to get in my zone. I'm gonna
all
give
right.
you this. I'll give you this musical piece, and you can share it with your people.
Okay.
And it's a beautiful piece, and they can do this at home and with a group, and it's an amazing thing. But the takeaway value on this is that if you are going to tell yourself that you're unworthy, or you're going to tell yourself, you know, you're not a confident person or you can't do something, you're internalizing and reverberating with that very idea. And
yep.
that's where you're going to be in life. So the challenge for everyone in rising higher and putting this light in your life is to pick an idea that is the highest level. You know, if it's too overwhelming for a person to think that they are divinity, are connected with this divinity, then go for something a little more manageable, like you're a beautiful person,
exactly.
And that you're talented and you have so much to offer, and let that flow through the pores of your skin, and try for a whole day to be in that vibration, and you will be amazed at the people that come into your life and what people say, how it heals relationships. I mean, if we could all be doing that a little bit, I think our world would be a whole better place. And I know that sounds like a song from the late 60s, but...
It's so true, though. It really is.
But we're talking about the same stuff over and over again. We just got to get people to practice.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it always kind of reminds me, I recognize this, and you have discussed it without saying it in the way I'm going to say it, but you've absolutely talked about it. It reminds me that there have been a group of people in the spiritual realm or the metaphysical spiritual group, you know, that New Age group, who get the concept. They kind of go, like you were saying, to all of the workshops, but then they leave the workshop and they go back out into their world and don't apply what it is they went to the workshop for, which to me is very similar to the religious person, whichever one you want to bring forward into your mind, who goes to church on Sunday and asks for forgiveness and says their prayers and then turns around, walks back out, and does the same maybe not so nice things during their week and then goes back again and asks for forgiveness. You know, it's like it's that same pattern, and the ability to really make that shift and, as you've been sharing, bring it into your life through the beingness of it, that's the key right there, and it does make a huge shift.
Because life is not all about doing, it's about being.
Exactly.
I know, yeah. We're always saying that to people, but that's what it means. And to adopt spiritual practices that make sense to you, you know, understand
yep.
their meaning. If you want to pray, go somewhere and pray. Go anywhere. I mean, but pray with passion and clarity, like I was telling you that Emmett Fox was telling us in the 40s, you know. Pray with passion. And not just say something,
right.
be with
right.
the idea, to
yeah.
be with the idea.
Greg Braden, I think, explained that to me the best of anybody, and he gave such a beautiful visual of it. He shared how, and he has all the different names of prayer, which I'm not going to remember, but basically instead of praying to something outside of you to have them do this for you, you're supposed to pray as he gave the example of an Indian who said that he was going to go up on the mountain because they had such a large drought and he was going to go up and pray for rain. And Greg was allowed to go with him, and he went up on the mountain and he watched this Indian just stand there. Native American is probably the more appropriate thing to say. I can't remember which tribe or anything, but it was a Native American person. And they literally stood there and didn't do anything except for feel the rain coming down on their skin and feel the skies opening up and the water going into the ground. That was the prayer. It was feeling it, imagining it, being it, not asking for something outside of ourselves mm-hmm. to do it for us. It was experiencing the feeling of it really happening.
Passion and clarity. We were talking about it. And so they probably pulled the rain down.
Exactly.
And they did, because all form is thought.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole conversation tonight. You project a lower vibration and a lower state of consciousness, you're going to create discord and negativity because it's distorted. And those are things like hate and exploitation or separation or spite. They're sticky. And higher consciousness, higher thought forms are just being aware of God or love. They're constructive. I mean, they're non-resistant and they're creative. It's like living in the flow. You know, so you can choose which way you want to go. And the people that are very good at it, yeah, they can make the rain come because they can be in that idea. They are projecting the vibration of the thing that they want.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating, really. And I think that that we are beginning to learn how to do this. We are at a stage of our human evolution where there's more acceptance to this idea, even though we've been hearing about it for thousands of years. But, I mean, as a mass society, and just by the virtue of technology and movies, we're sharing more ideas and it's becoming more mainstream. We're able to get people to really think about this stuff and see real results. And of course we're all into results in Western culture, right? You know, let's go get some data on it, you know. Talk about the spiritual stuff, and Yogananda and all these people have been talking about all of these things, and now we have to go back to science and get hardcore data to prove that, you know, they were right anyway. It's utterly laughable, you know, but it's a reflection of our logical left brains running the world, and that's another subject for another day. But
absolutely,
you know, to me, our whole thing tonight was, you know, being to be the idea of rain, if that's what you want.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm so excited that I was able to have you on the show this evening on Living in the Light, and the message that you're sharing with everyone is beautiful and spectacular, and I'm so grateful that you're another one of the teachers and divine beings who are out there sharing love and light and actually being it. Would you like to share one more time all of your information and let us know one more time when your book is coming out?
Have people go to theonenessgospel.com or charlenecrocker.com. If you go to theonenessgospel.com, you can click at the link at the top of the page that says free gifts when you buy the book, and there'll be all kinds of bonus gifts there and our book trailer. Our book is officially launching on April 24th, and if you buy the book, we'll have some free seminars called Your Journey to Joy, and we'll be talking more about that, and just visit us or send us an email to the office, and we'll be happy to share what our events are and so forth. So we'll look forward to hearing from all of you.
Well, that's awesome. And after you're off here in a few minutes, I will go ahead and still continue to remind people where to go and about the date of your book coming out. And again, I'm just very grateful to have you on the show, and thank you so much for all of the wonderful work that you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Have a wonderful evening, and good luck with your book launch.
Well, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
All right, good night. Bye. Okay, everybody, that was Charlene Proctor. I'm very grateful and excited to have had her on the show. We still have another hour, and we're going to talk about some wonderful things, and we're going to share with the chat room, and maybe Harry and or Genesis will call in, and we'll have some fun discussions. Harry is also going to be setting a date with he and his partner to come on to Living in the Light. And so that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our top of the hour break. Go ahead and take a break yourself, and we'll be back in a minute.
USC Radio Productions is a catalyst for humanity's shift from human nature to divine greatness through both the spoken word and our hosts sharing compelling and exciting topics to create a greater understanding of the subject and how it relates to our world today. Whether our hosts are speaking at conferences to worldwide audiences, organizing live global events, or presenting unique, life-changing, empowering knowledge, our mission has always remained at the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, to create opportunities for all to claim their empowerment, stand in unity, and to meet the greater parts of themselves and each other. This is our heart calling. You are our calling. At the most pivotal time in our human evolution, we are deeply inspired to continue to meet the needs of humanity and our planet as we birth into empowered greatness. It is our fervent hope and intention that our shows will serve as both a guiding light and trusted resource. Visit us at uscnetwork.ning.com. The time has arrived to claim your greatness and be the voice of your heart.
Join host Susan Newton every Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the USC radio show Living in the Light. Empowerment occurs as you open your heart and reconnect to your higher self and unconditional love. Discover how to reunite as a whole through the light of spirit and the love of God. Log on to www.blessingsfromspirit.com and choose to empower yourself. Schedule group or individual sessions with author, medium, and interactive verbal channel Susan Newton and guided meditation specialist Chris Salomon. Their products and services will facilitate your reconnection to the whole as you open your heart and experience unconditional love. Log on to www.angelsnownetwork.com and unite as a whole with all that is. Register to attend an Angels Now event with Susan Newton, Chris Salomon, Cindy and Michael Fess, and Candy Michelle. Your Angels Now team is here to serve you. This group of authors, mediums, psychic facilitators, Reiki masters, musicians, and guided meditation specialists will share spiritual insights, wisdom, and truths from the spiritual realm. How would you like to not only place yourself firmly on the path of ascension, but to speed up the process of moving into a fifth-dimensional body? Alejandra, host of the Universal Spiritual Connection Radio Network, Healing with the Rainbow Rays, has some exciting and wonderful new tools and sessions offered for the spiritual aspirant on an ascension path. A lifelong and internationally known teacher, healer, and ascension initiate, Alejandra has had a keen interest in the process of ascension, as well as the mystic arts such as teleportation and levitation, and the process of reversing the aging process and achieving immortality. Her Rainbow Bliss Tinctures for Ascension, directed by the Ascended Master Saint Germain, have been generating fabulous results for their users. Her new healing sessions in the Rainbow Liquid Light for Ascension is overlit by her new light, B
being guides for the light workers who wish a giant leap into fifth dimensional form in anticipation for the 2012 shift, already occurring now. She also offers a selection of MP3s that embrace the art of color energy healing, techniques for the chakras, and for connecting with the cosmos. You may reach her at 408-986-8550. That's 408-986-8550. Or email at alejandra7777@yahoo.com. Her website is www.colorhealing.com. Change your life for the better today.
Host your own TV radio show. Prime time, weekday, weekend, and evening times available. The USC TV Radio Productions welcomes leadership professionals to host a new TV radio program who stand firmly in their personal empowerment as a leader, but also understands the importance of team unity for the greater good of being in service to humanity. The TV radio program will focus on your area of expertise. Please contact us at your earliest convenience to discuss further details, including the production cost of the program, sponsorship, and income opportunities. To inquire about hosting a TV radio program and prices, call 480-255-6198 or email us at iamdivinelight@aol.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Living in the Light. This is your host, Susan Newton, and I'm here this evening with my co-host, Chris Salamone. Welcome back, Chris.
I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Don't you just, wouldn't it be fun if they were able to say hi?
I know. You have to imagine that, all saying that.
Exactly. Well, we see all of you in the chat room, and thank you so much for being here with us this evening. Also, thank you so much again to Charlene M. Proctor, Ph.D., I'm going to go ahead and give her contact information one more time. Her book launch is April 24th. You can go to the onenessgospel.com. You can also go to charlenecroctor.com and be sure and check out her information. She's clearly walking her talk, and that's one of my most favorite things to talk about, actually, because it is part of becoming conscious. It is absolutely part of becoming conscious. And when you can become your own observer, when you can literally become your own observer and look within your life and see if you are walking your own talk, that creates a shift right there. I just so much am passionate to share with people how they're able to lead their life in a different way and enjoy it in a little bit different way and have a greater understanding of more of the things that are going on.
Yeah, when I heard Charlene talk, I thought it was a mirror image of Susan.
I know. I was hearing myself talk. It was funny. Some of it was identical, like word for word verbatim.
Susan was hearing herself talk.
I was. Yeah, it's so much fun. And, you know, that brings up another point because I'm always very humbled and filled with grace, and I am told all the time by Spirit that there are so many people out in the world right now who are sharing the same messages over and over and over again to people so that the people that are ready to make the shifts and changes will have people to guide them, people to assist them on their journey. Not someone to tell them what to do, but someone to help them discover who they are and what their gifts are and what their divinity looks like in their physical form. And that's such a beautiful thing, isn't it? If you think that everybody has divinity within them, and it is, that becomes their job, to discover what their own divinity is.
Yeah, I think it's important to hear from more than one places and from several sources and mm-hmm. see the commonality of mm-hmm. the theme. It reinforces things, I think.
Yep, it's very, very exciting. I also wanted to look back at Harry's comments there. I didn't want to cut in on any of Charlene's last few moments on the show, but Harry so beautifully put that we are divine by design, which I love. I love that, Harry. Thank you. And I also love the next thing that you shared through the chat room, which is it is be, do, have, not do, have, be. I love that. It's awesome, and it's so true. And again, you know, it's just little things like that, that one person comes up with another way to put forward the same thing that another person brought forward in this way or that way. You know, there's some of us that have a very scientific mind. There's some of us that have a very creative mind. And it's my understanding that as we open ourselves up to learning a lot of what is out there, that those of us who have the creative mind are able to tap in a little bit more to the scientific mind, and those of us who have the scientific minds are able to tap more into the creative minds. And we literally become more or reconnect to and awaken more of the gifts that we came in with, because we really are one with all that is, and we do have capabilities of enjoying and interacting with many more things than we could possibly imagine, I think.
Mm-hmm. So being comes first.
Yeah. Being present. I mean, that's really what presence is all about. And that's a funny thing, because, boy, you can watch people walk out of the present moment so quickly, just in their words or in their actions or in their thoughts or their behaviors. And you really have to become very vigilant for yourself.
Yeah, I think it was very insightful of what Charlene was saying about how, you know, you can study these things and talk to and go to workshops and so forth, and then you kind of have your life things in front of you and life challenges that are right there trying to pull you back into spin and fear and worry, and it happens to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody has that. So it just becomes a trick of how, you know, how good you start becoming or with practice to step out of that
yeah.
spin.
Well, to actually be able to still be within the spin but not spin with the spin. You know what I mean?
Just recognize.
Yeah, recognize where you are and literally shift your perception. For instance, I mean, just a really easy, great example, and I know that all of us have experienced this. If I'm experiencing something in my day and I might think, I typically catch it in my thought, but every now and then it gets out of my mouth still. But typically I'll catch it in my thought anymore because I've worked on it for so long. I might think, oh, this is just so not fun. I'm not enjoying this at all. And I'll start to go down that path in my mind. Sometimes it comes out of my mouth. And then I'll immediately look at it and go, okay, I see where I am with this. How can I shift this? How can I say it in a more positive way? Or how can I find a way to have this feel a little bit better than that felt, because that didn't feel so hot. And it literally becomes a choice. It literally becomes a choice. So instead of using words that are filled with, you know, I can't do this or I don't know how to do that, you can say, well, I'm, you know, working on learning how to do this, or I am, you know, getting better every day with shifting my perceptions. Or, I mean, there's just lots of different ways that it almost becomes a game to how quickly you can catch the thought or catch the word and look at where that's coming from within you.
Yeah, and it's important to be in, to be what you want, you know, be in the mood that you know want to be in, or be in the place that you know is a better place to be. So it has
mm-hmm.
to be there. Start with your thought process.
Absolutely. Well, I am working right now with Aurora Winter, who is one of my guests on the radio show. And she will be a guest again on the radio show. I want to, when she comes on this next time, really, really promote and bring out her marketing module, because it's spectacular and amazing, and I've learned quite a bit. But my thought for bringing this forward is she says something that I've heard many other people say, and I've said it before myself, but it just has never resonated so much as it does now. When you're working with people, someone might say, well, you know, I can't do that, and I'll never be able to do that. And she might look at that person and say, well, okay, then you get to be right. I love that saying. It's a very fun saying. And I think about it all the time, and I think about it for myself. Okay, what am I thinking? Because whatever I'm thinking and however I'm really putting out there what my belief system is, I get to be right on that. Do I really want to be right on that? Is that what I want to be right about? Or do I want to look at it and think to myself, well, maybe this would serve my highest good. Maybe this would be more enjoyable. Maybe this would, you know, be more effective for me in my life in getting to where it is that I want to go. I would rather be, you know, be accurate and be pretty positive about where my thoughts are going. So So it's just a fun little thing, another way, another tool in the bucket for you to pay attention to what it is that you're thinking, feeling, behaving, and acting.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to bring up to people too. You get to be right. It's not as though it's a criticism of someone, but it just makes them think, oh, well, maybe I am thinking that. I need to be right.
No, not the. That's not what. Well, you're taking that to a different place, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is what a person thinks is what they get to be right about. If it's your thought that it's this, this, and this, then for yourself, that's what you get to experience. That was my point for bringing that forward. That if that is your thought, then that's what you get to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More so that explains it a little bit better than you get to be right. If that is what your thought process is, then that is what your experience is going to be. Maybe that explained a little bit better what it was that I was bringing forward. Because when I share with people and coach people, I actually share with them to step out of right and wrong. But in this situation, I wasn't talking about right and wrong. I was talking about if that's what you're thinking about, then that's what you get to experience.
Yeah.
Exactly. You get to be right. If that's what you want your experience to be, then guess what? That's what you're going to give yourself by using those thoughts, having those beliefs, and using those words.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gives you another tool to be able to use and decide if that's really what you want to experience, if that's really what you want to create for yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of what I was bringing forward there. So I wanted to share something that was a really, really amazing experience for me that I haven't shared with anybody yet. And actually, I'm going to go ahead because I bet this might be Harry. We have somebody from the chat room on the line. Let me see if I can click here. Hello. Welcome to Living in the Light. Who do we have on the line?
Hello, Susan. It is Harry.
It's Harry. I knew it would be you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Harry. Good to hear from you.
Well, good to hear you guys. I don't, you know, once a month is just not enough, so.
Exactly.
Well, you're very kind and very sweet and very gifted and quite the positive person yourself. I can share from my own personal experience and my own knowing of Harry that he is definitely a person that walks his talk, that leads his life in a very unconditionally loving way and makes his choices based on what serves his highest good and makes his choices allowing himself to address his emotions and move up the scale. So thank you for being that person.
Oh, well thank you for those kind words. And, you know, I've got myself to a point, I think, in my life that there's just no other way to be.
Yes.
Took a while to get there.
Yes. Exactly. It does, but once you do get there, it that is the case. I am in that same place. And that's a good place to be. I think that's a very peaceful place to be.
It is, and I like what you had to say earlier. It reminded me of something I've been talking to people about lately. When you get to decide, how you're gonna look at things, how you're gonna view them, how you're gonna feel about them. And one of the things that I'm working on right now is to write a little article on going from WTF to well, huh?
Exactly. That's funny. I like that.
Yeah. I found myself, and this has been a while ago, but I found myself several years ago being more and more in that space of WTF, and I didn't like the feeling of it. And so I just, I did some practical things to work on. So now when things come up where I used to say, well, what the, I now just say, well, huh. And it shifts the energy. It makes it more like, okay, this happened. Okay, what do I do about it? How do I learn?
Yeah.
How do I grow? How do I evolve?
Well, that's a really fun way to say that the WTF is really more of a victim mode, because WTF is more of, are you kidding? This is happening to me. And
right.
The well, huh, is like, huh, okay, what is this providing me an opportunity to look at? That's what a fun way to put that. I love that.
Yeah, so that's something that, as a matter of fact, we're working on thing down in Albuquerque to do one of our seminars down there, and it's a stress management seminar, and as part of it, I'm actually going to do a little bit on that. helping people to go from WTF to well, huh, as part of stress management as well. So.
Yep, that's awesome. That's really awesome. I love that. It's a fun way, a very like neutral way and a fun way and an everyday life way to get people to see that.
Yeah. So how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Yeah. I was just about to share a story, and I would love to just have you hang out on the line with us, and you can share in return if you would like. I'm sure that you have some experiences because I know that you actually grew up with metaphysics and, you know, all of those things. You grew up with that. So I would feel it safe to say you probably have some stories that you could share as well. I wanted to share a story that occurred and that happened in my experience when I was in North Carolina. How many weeks ago was that?
Two weeks.
2 weeks ago. And I did broadcast the show from there. I went there to see my third son graduate from his second phase of Marines, and it was from the infantry school. So, of course, when I got there, I had my computer with me, and I had all the stuff to do the radio show because I would be broadcasting from North Carolina. And one of the first things I did was ask the hotel clerk what the code was to get onto their wireless connection. I went into my room and got myself settled, sat down on the bed, pushed the little icon in the lower right side of my computer to find the wireless connection, and saw nothing there of the hotel that I was at. All I saw was the connection that is called Linksys, I think is what we have here, right, in Dublin, mm-hmm. Ohio. All the way in Dublin, Ohio, I see the Linksys connection there with no bars, by the way. The bars were no green in any of the bars. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to have to figure this out tomorrow. This is, actually, I guess it was Saturday. It was Saturday. So I figured I had the date Sunday to figure it out so I could get online to get on the show. And the way that my emails are, they, like, download into my computer, and I don't have to be online to check them for the ones that have downloaded into my computer. So I thought, okay, no big deal. I'll figure it out tomorrow, and I'll just look at my emails that are in my computer. So I start looking at my emails. There happens to be a Facebook message on there that I clicked on just to read it, and then I inadvertently, without thinking or remembering that I, quote, wasn't online, clicked to connect to the message or whatever that little thing says where it takes you to Facebook.
Link.
Yeah, the link. Yeah. And I got on Facebook, and I sat there and went, huh, that's interesting. And I proceeded to surf the net and went and got on Blog Talk Radio to be sure that I could, you know, access everything. And, you know, I'm used to having bizarre things happen in my life. Right, Chris?
Yeah, well, the point is you later found out that.
I'm kidding there,
yeah.
But I want to tell the story. Yeah. So I sit there and I get online and I go through the whole thing. And as I'm going online and as I'm surfing the net, I hear a message in my mind, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you'll see the tie-in here after I explain it. There isn't really a quick way to go around the story because it is an important one to know all the pieces to. When I hear things like that from Spirit, I follow the journey. And I heard it three times, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So I said, okay, you want me to look it up online? I looked it up. I typed it in. There were multiple links that came up, and I clicked on the one that resonated with me, and it had actually said Stations of the Cross, and it was the 22nd Station of the Cross, which I don't study the Bible. I was raised Methodist, converted to Catholicism, but I never was a student necessarily of the Bible, and a lot of whatever I was taught didn't stick as far as the actual facts of it. So anyway, I click on this and I start reading it, and it was this whole story about that God has a name, and it was a story of how the name originally, way, way, way back when, was I will be what I will be, and then as Yeshua and Jesus and all of that came through, and of course this is like I read it for about an hour and a half, so it was a long story. I'm giving you a brief synopsis, but it then went to he will be what he will be. And then when Jesus went back to God, it became, I will be what he will be.
And then the point of it was that I am that I am, what came after that, and it was a little bit taken out of context. So here's this whole story, and I'm reading, and I'm finding it interesting, and the Hebrew language was in it, and it showed how that when the I will be what I will be is brought forward, it's written in Hebrew, but not right to left or left to right. It's actually up and down, and it forms this little stick figure in Hebrew letters of a person. And so I'm reading this, and I find it interesting, and I'm starting to fall asleep, and I said, all right, I need to go to bed. Who is this talking to me? Is this Master Jesus? And the answer that came back was, no, this is God. And I said, oh, like Neil Donald Walsh in Conversations with God. And they said, yes. And I said, oh, okay. And in the meantime, I'm still checking down, and I have no bars on my computer. I'm not hooked into anyone's internet connection. I'm clearly not hooked into the internet connection that's 11 hours away. And the hotel connection wasn't there. So I closed the computer down. I go to sleep. I had significant dreams and messages that night and got up the next morning and sat down, clicked on the little thing at the bottom, and up comes the Econo Lodge wireless connection immediately. So the point of the story and the reason for me sharing is that there are many things in our lives that we don't understand. There are things in our lives that we may be experiencing. That one clearly, I don't, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't have a, quote, logical explanation. I don't know that someone could explain to me how I got online and that I looked that up and that I was told that it was God talking to me.
Well, I mean, when the Econo Lodge came up the next day, you needed to put your username and password, which you didn't have.
Absolutely. I had to put the username
and
password,
didn't have it, right?
And I didn't have it because the lady had only given me one thing. She hadn't given me the other thing.
You couldn't get on.
I couldn't get online the next morning. And then I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, I guess when that energy comes in, you can get online and hang out online whenever.
She had an internet connection with God. That's the synopsis.
It is. But it was interesting because part of what Charlene had brought forward was the I am that I am, and that we are, you know, we are all that is. And it's interesting as well, and I'm going to continue this, because since that evening, I have had multiple different experiences in my life that have added on to that story. I have been guided to multiple different books that have added on to other pieces of that story. The biblical story of Moses was also in the story that I read that evening when I had no internet connection, and I had actually experienced a burning bush in the real world. Like, I was driving into a driveway and looked over and said, oh my gosh, that person's bush is on fire. And when I went to look and knock on their door and say, your bush is on fire, you know, there were only a few flames in the bottom of the bush, and it was smoking. And part of what was in the story was that in the story of the burning bush, the bush wasn't engulfed. There were just some flames there. And I remember thinking, oh, my goodness, that's like that story. So anyway, to tie all of this kind of into a big full circle, our awakening to our divinity absolutely has to do with our current vibrational existence and everything that has occurred over the last, you know, I always kind of go to 1,000 years, but it's, of course, way longer than that. But everything that's been brought forward in that time frame, and there is something significant about the 1,000 years because I just got pushed with shivers again. You know, we have created this energy pattern, and in order to shift it, we have to interact with it as it stands and create a shift in our choices to bring it forward in a different way. And so I guess my big message is that I would love for everybody to be open to things occurring in their life that they think aren't possible, because I'm here to tell you that there's a whole lot that's possible that I would never have imagined possible. And I experience it all the time, and Chris can attest to that. He just kind of rolls his eyeballs sometimes anymore, don't you?
Well, this is welcome to my world. Now you know what some of the experiences that we both, that Susan shares with me, that are quite out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Say the least.
Yeah. So it is, and I'm sure, Harry, we need to go to commercial break, but while we're on commercial break, would you be thinking about some stories that I'm sure that you have to share with us?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll see what I can do for you.
That would be awesome.
Thanks, Harry.
All right, we are going to go to the Rhythm of Life.
Sometimes it's a blessing, and sometimes it comes as a challenge. But the rhythm is always a teacher that comes to show us all that we are far more capable than we may have allowed ourselves to believe. So hold on, believer. Hold on tight to that rhythm, to the rhythm of life.
From 9 to 5, scraping at the bottom and barely getting by. You've done your best, try so hard. As you look around, you see you haven't gone far. When you haven't paid your taxes, where is due? If you don't make some money, your life is through. Well,
Hello, we are back. This is Living in the Light, and I'm your host, Susan Newton. That was Christian Anderson. Thank you so much, Christian, for allowing us to use that music. ChristianAnderson.com, you can go to and hear more of that. It's an awesome song. You did a great job with that. Welcome back, Chris.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. Hi, Harry.
Hello.
So, what can you share with us about some experiences in your life that were, you know, one of those unique and wonderful synchronicities that can't be explained away?
Well, basically, I was actually the first time I was stationed in Germany. I had taken a trip over to London, England, and we were going around in the Tower of London, and in there they have a whole bunch of armor, you know, from back in the day, and weapons and all that type of thing. And I was walking down this one room, and all of a sudden I walked up in front of this piece of this suit of armor, and it was like it was calling to me. You know, it just drew me right in, and as I got to it and got in front of it, I was just like tingling all over. Now, at the time, I couldn't figure out why. I was just like, okay, this is cool. It's nice armor, you know, great. So then when I went home after I was PCS back to the United States, and I was home on leave, I went and saw a friend of the family's, Reverend Greg Keene, who's a psychic, and we were, you know, talking, and it was the first time actually I had a chance to meet him and actually get a reading. And I was a little bit of a left-brain guy back in the day. I used to be a, you know, criminal investigator, so very logical about things, and my mom had really been developing her stuff and said, you know, I think you really need to go get a reading from Greg. And what was interesting about the reading, though, is that, one, he brought up that moment when I was in London. Now, there's no way he could have known, because I didn't even tell my mom or anybody about it. I didn't really share it with anybody. But I'm sitting there, and he says, well, you know, Harry, that moment that you were in London and you were drawn to that piece, you know, that suit of armor, and I imagine if somebody would have had a camera on me, the look would have been of like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, in that moment. And I said, yeah. He goes, do you know why you were drawn to that armor? I said, not really. He says, because it was yours.
Ooh, that gave me shivers all over. And I have heat all around me right now too, Harry. I have heat everywhere.
I got that tingling myself currently happened at the time. And then he said, the next thing he said to me really sealed my, you know, took me out of my left brain and got me more into my right brain. He says to me, he goes, do you know that birthmark that you have underneath your left arm? And I'm like, yeah. He said, do you ever notice it's in the shape of a hilt of a sword? And I'm like, no. He says, well, you were left-handed at that time. And when you lifted up your arm to, you know, fight somebody else, somebody come from the side, the part of the armor that was in the Tower of London that had a weak point is under the arm. He said, that's not a birthmark, that's a death mark, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, that's just covering me in shivers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
One, Harry.
Yeah.
And it was just
Harry,
amazing.
Harry, have you done all your work on that incident? Because I feel like you still have either some more knowing or some more releasing to do about that. Did you ever go back in and do any I love you, please forgive me, thank you, I'm sorry work on that?
Actually, no. I don't know why. You know, there's something about that I don't know, it never felt bad to me. It actually felt very interesting, very good, very, you know, to
yeah.
know.
Yes.
And because the other part of this comes up for me is I always, as a kid, growing up, I was drawn to medieval stuff. I was always out in we had this big field behind our house that the dandelions would grow like 3 feet tall, 4 feet tall. And I would take a stick and go out there, and I was the knight. And I was, you know, battling these things, and I'm cutting down these dandelions. And I really got drawn to a lot of that stuff, and I found out why, because I was there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to share with you, and you can do what you want with it, but
sure.
You know that I am very empathic, and as we're talking about this, I got covered with shivers. I felt heat immediately come around my body, which usually means that Metatron is here, and when
mm-hmm.
Metatron's here for me, usually St. Germain is here, and I'm feeling a tightness in my, literally in my right breast area, and heat everywhere, and a little bit of tightness up through my right shoulder. And it feels more to me like representative of the heart, and I feel like it's more of you being able to give gratitude and thanks and forgiveness all in one fell swoop. And I keep being shown the Ho'oponopono, which is why that came out of my mouth. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Because it's a gratitude and a forgiveness and I'm so excited that I have been able to identify that part of my life and that I did a good job in that part of my life and that other person did a good job at that part of their life. And I know that you know that, and it's up to you. I'm just going to share what I'm feeling and what I'm being given. And that life, whatever it was very significant for you, the one in particular with the armor.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And, I love when, I get some either confirmations or people to come and, want to share with me, stuff like that. I'll definitely take that upon and take a look. He also shared me my reason I'm afraid of ladders.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Because in another lifetime, I was climbing up a ladder trying to get into a castle, and I was almost to the top, and they pushed the ladder.
Okay, Sonny, that gave me a headache. That pinched in my head. So whatever these things are, those, for me, when I feel energetically in another person's energy, and it doesn't mean that they make you feel bad. It's not it at all. It's just that whatever the energy is, there's like a tidbit of you just saying, what you always say, cool, okay, I'm good with that. And you always do that, and I know that about you. However, these couple of things that you're bringing up, and I have a feeling that there's more, are for you to literally embrace and love, because you actually have ancestors coming through right now, and here's where more heat is going to come in. Wow. You have ancestors that you carry their lineage within you, and they did not do the work that you're doing now. Does that make more sense to you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, so by you acknowledging that those little tidbits are still in there, they're not necessarily you, who you are in this lifetime, but you also have ancestral lineage. In other words, you've also been your own ancestor kind of thing.
Okay.
And those pieces parts are in there wanting to be acknowledged and wanting for you to do in this moment in time what they didn't do in their moment in time. And now I feel like I can breathe again. Yay!
That's good. I want you to be breathing.
Yeah, and Aaron Seitz is just sending in a message. I don't know if you're still looking at the chat room. Something with the left leg too, that she's picking up. So it feels to me that you just have a couple of things that are hanging out in your energy system still that want to be acknowledged. And that's very cool.
Okay. Well, I will do that, because the more I can integrate and the more I can relax into a lot of these things, I know the better things are going to, come going forward. So.
Yeah, it is. It's such a really fun thing to think about, that our ancestors and how we literally are in the point of power, as Electra and friends would share, we're in the point of power from the platforms that they've created for us up to this moment in time.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you guys, giving me the opportunity to come on and spend some time with you and share and whatnot. And thank you for the guidance that you gave to me.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the information. My point to sharing some stories, and I would invite anybody else to call in and share any stories that they have of some really cool spiritual experiences, or whatever you would like to call them, experiences that can't be explained away by logic. because I think there's so many of us that have that happen all the time, and maybe we are afraid to share, or we think people will think we're crazy. I'm at a point where I don't care anymore. It's like, okay, well, this is what it is, and you can think whatever you want. So thank you, Harry, for sharing.
Thanks, Harry.
Oh, well, thank you very much, guys. You guys take care. I love you both, and looking forward to seeing you, on the 8th? Is that the next one?
Yeah, it's just coming up right around the corner.
Something like that. Fantastic. All right, guys. Well, hey, may you be blessed always and in all ways.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Harry. Do you want me to put you on hold, or are you just going to go back in the chat room, or what would you prefer?
I'm going to pop back in the chat room here. So.
Okay. Sounds good. Have a good night.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Cool. So, Chris, how about you?
I was thinking back to the time, it's been a while ago, where I get some things. I've had some information come to me in dreams, and I remember one of the most memorable dreams that I had was from my spirit guide, and I had no clue at the time, you know, who my spirit guide, who any of my spirit guides may have been, or any names. None of them had really come to me with any information before, but I remember that I saw my main spirit guide, very, very big kind of character, and I saw it very clearly in that he was up kind of on a small set of stairs, like a platform, like two or three stairs, and he was at the top, and he was in an archway, and he was leaning up against one of the archways, almost kind of with one of his legs up, kind of just leaning there casually on one of the archways. And in my dream, in my mind's eye, the whole frame of what I was seeing in front of me zoomed in like a camera you'd see in a movie, zoomed right into his mouth, where he pointed to his mouth and said, "Aragorn," to me. And, you know, clear as day, immediately sat up out of bed and said, "Oh my God." So I wrote, and I had pen and paper always beside my bed, and immediately wrote down the name. And, I saw several psychics after that I had been seeing at the time, and they confirmed with me. Actually, I had been to, before I knew Susan, I was with another psychic and said, "Oh, I'm getting messages from your spirit guide, and it's something with an A or hour," and I knew right away it was Aragorn. So I had several confirmations. I knew already myself, but then I also had it confirmed that this was my main spirit guide. And since then, of course, we converse all the time back and forth.
Right.
And Susan.
But I'm not a psychic. I would like to clarify that. I deliver messages from the universal mind, and Spirit has been very clear that they want me to share messages with people that allow for their higher self insight to come through.
Right.
Yeah.
And Susan's gotten information from Aragorn, and as a matter of fact, interacts quite a bit for me, with me, with my main guy. So that was quite a memorable experience for me spiritually.
Yeah.
And it's always fun getting information in dreams for me. It's a medium that comes through for me. So.
Yeah, it's very cool, and you have it happen frequently in your dreams. Yeah.
I had last night.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning, and I had a keyboard in my dream in front of me, and it was an odd keyboard because it was wood, and the black keys on the keyboard were wood stained with red. So it was a red keyboard, and I woke up with, I was playing this song on the key. I don't play the piano, but I woke up from watching myself play some song on the piano, and I don't even play the piano. And I woke up, and I knew specifically what this song was.
And he hummed it into the phone, so he'd remember it.
I immediately hummed it into the dictaphone in my phone so that I would remember it, because an hour later, I had no clue what the song was. I could never have remembered it unless I had recorded it in my phone. And so since then, went and borrowed a keyboard from my son, got the keyboard, listened to the song on the recorder on the phone, and started to play the song on the piano, which, by the way, happened to be the same keys that I was seeing in the dream.
Right, right.
And I have a song now that came to me in a dream that I'm going to play with a little bit more and maybe play with it with my son Tony, who's a musician. So maybe that was the reason for that.
Well, also, I mean, what I know to be true about sound and tones and music is that they absolutely are spiritual. They absolutely have an effect on and in our world. So that was very beautiful that that happened. I also want to be sure that everybody really listened to what Chris said about the fact that he definitely would not have remembered that if he hadn't have recorded it. You have to do the same thing with your dreams as far as writing them down. Even if you don't get music, the things that you get, by all means, be sure and write it down immediately because you think you're going to remember it, and it goes so quickly because it's something new for you. It's and sometimes it's not even literally come in the normal way that you would get it. It's coming through your higher self connection and your connection to spirit, and so you have to write it down so that you can integrate it into your physical body.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very
a wonderful
cool.
thing, too, because it was so obvious to me that there was a song that was downloaded into my head.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Cool.
Thank you for sharing. I also want to bring another thing forward here because there's people who I know are out there who are receiving messages and they may not know who it's from or they may not recognize what's going on. This is a message that, and I get this frequently now because I have paid attention to it and I act on it every time. I started to get readings or writing from the Bible. And we were on our way to New York, and I told Chris, I need a pencil and paper. I'm being told that St. Francis of Assisi is here and that he wants to talk. And this is a poem, or not poem, but it's a prayer. He told me that it was St. Francis of Assisi, and it's a prayer, and he said to say it and be it. Now, mind you, I didn't even know who St. Francis of Assisi was. And I'm like, who is that? And I did read this at our Transfigurational Matrix workshop that we had and as the opening prayer on Sunday. But I want to share it with you because I want to let you know that you may be receiving messages. And if you take the time to grab a pencil and a paper and write them down, it will be unveiled to you or brought into your awareness who it's from, where it's from, and in some way, shape, or form, it will make sense to you in your life. I promise it will. This prayer that St. Francis of Assisi would like for people to say it and be it is, the root of all evil is greed and self-deprecation. Love must be the answer and the way. It hasn't been. Give unto the Lord, for the Lord hath many gifts to share with you. Love in the highest. Blessed be thee who sit at the right hand of the Father. He who has fallen must stand tall, walk forward on a righteous path. Open thy heart to the heavens, for the heavens wait to be alive within you. Give thus you may receive. Give that which you receive. All be it laud and glory. Praise be to thee, for you are one of the many who has been chosen. Forge a path of truth and love, for it is the way of the light bearer. Peace and glory are thine. The Lord hath brought forward the animals for your service. Love, peace, and joy on high, and thank you for your openness. And then it was shared with me that this is the same flavor, but a different temperature. In other words, it's similar information, but being brought forth in a different way for this time frame. These messages are being brought forth in a different way for a new time frame. And I want to share also that we were on our way to New York where Chris's dad lives, and these messages were for him. And I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about St. Francis. I didn't know that he was patron saint for animals at the time. I didn't know any of that. And I certainly didn't know that he's one of your father's favorite saints and happens to be his middle name, Francis. He was named after St. Francis. So it just lets people hear out there that when you do start listening to the things that are going on around you and you open up to letting all of that information that's within us and around us come through, it really can be a fun and beautiful experience. and exciting. It's like there's a surprise waiting around every door.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like Tuckahoe.
Yeah.
We are in Tuckahoe.
Tuckahoe. Yeah. There's hundreds of them, literally. But
the Indian chief who came through
yes,
for us. So.
Yes. So the point is that everybody that's listening out there, the more present that you can be in your present moment, empowerment through presence is such an important thing, not only for your healing, but also for your joy, literally. If you allow yourself to be present in every circumstance of your life, in other words, and I'm just going to give an actual physical example here. If, for instance, if you're in your life, maybe you're in a job that you really can't stand, and you go into your work every day and you're like, I just can't stand being here. I hate this job. I don't want to be here. That is taking you out of your present moment, because guess what? You are in that job still. And so your most amazing gift that you can give to yourself is say, okay, I get that I don't want to be here. I understand my feelings, but the fact remains that in this moment in time, I am here. How can I begin to shift my words, my thoughts, my feelings, my actions, and instead of having reactions, actually interact with where you are in a different way? And at the same time, you know, make a plan of right action to move more toward where it is that you want to go. But be sure and gift yourself with accepting that you are, in fact, in this case, in that job. You are in that position. So accept it and figure out how to be the most positive, productive, in integrity person in that moment in time. And when you do that, you'd be surprised at the truth and the peace that come to you and the synchronicities that fall into place for you as you're moving forward on your path. That is really my biggest message, I think, for this evening, is presence and consciousness, because, boy, it really is something magical.
Yeah, things open up for you when you're in that place.
They
do. Like you could be as positive as you can. You might meet somebody for the day that says, this person is so positive, I'd like to have him maybe come and work for us.
Exactly.
That's a little anecdote example.
Exactly. So thank you, everybody, for being here this evening with us. Thank you, chat room. You're wonderful and lovely, and I love all of you. Thank you, Charlene, for being here. Please go to www.blessingsfromspirit.com and order my book and order some of Chris's CDs and call and schedule a session with Susan Newton and or Electra and Friends, whichever one you'd like to speak to or both.
Or come to one of our meetups.
Exactly. Come to one of our meetups or schedule a weekend event in your area. We'd love to work with you and meet you and see you and talk to you. So that being said, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we will be back with you next week. Mark J. Ryan is going to be on the show next week. He's a very gifted, wonderful person. Excited for you to meet him and hear the insight he has there. All right, everybody, have a great week. Love you very, very much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
What'll you do with an extra $300? Throw a pizza party? Visit the dollar store 300 times? Get started by opening a TD Unlimited checking account, and you could get an extra $300 to get more of what you love. Visit TD.com/300. TD, ready for you. Conditions apply. Offer ends October 31st, 2018.